Let's turn to our Bibles, Revelation chapter 5. God bless you, musician. It was quite a lovely song service. Shall we give them a round of applause? We can all clap for them. Amen. The Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 from verse 1. We are going to read almost the whole chapter. But the whole chapter is only 11 verses. Don't be afraid. Amen. And after this, I looked. And behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Which said, come up hither. I will show you the things which must be hereafter. Malachi 4 leads you to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 leads you to Revelation 4. We are still reading. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, the throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. It's amazing of things that you can see when you are in the Spirit. 3. And he that said was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow run about the throne. Inside like unto an emerald. And run about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. The patriarchs and the apostles. Yes. Clothed in white raiment.
clothed in white raiment.
And they had on their heads a crown of gold.
And they had on their heads crowns of gold.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices.
And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Which are the seven spirits of God.
Which are the seven spirits of God.
One spirit coming seven times. Verse 7. The first beast was like a lion.
And the first beast was like a lion.
And the second beast like a calf.
And the second beast like a calf.
And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him.
And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him.
And they were full of eyes within.
And they were full of eyes within.
And they rested not day and night.
And they rested not day and night.
Saying, Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty,
saying, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty,
which was and is and is to come.
Which was and is and is to come.
And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne,
and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne,
who liveth forever and forever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne.
And 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne.
And worship him that liveth forever and ever.
And worship him that liveth forever and ever.
And cast their thrones before the throne, saying,
and cast their thrones before the throne, saying,
Thou art worthy.
Thou art worthy.
O Lord,
to receive glory and honor and power,
for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Brother Branham says, after the seals, after the seven church ages, it is time to worship. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this evening for such a wonderful time. We can feel your presence in this place. We can see and feel the hearts that have been set alight by your presence this morning. I believe your presence this morning can address every matter in the audience. And I believe that as we come and worship in the manner that we worship, that no demon can exist in such presence. I believe that cancers are about to fall off. Diseases that have plagued your people shall be healed because of the voltage that is in the building. Brother Branham says, every time I've seen God's presence electrifying the place, and I believe this morning this place is electrified by the power of the Almighty God. We are going to have a meal this morning. We are going to dine around the table and feed on the revealed word of the hour. We thank you that you made a provision and told the prophet to store up the food. Because, Lord, we can see such famine in the end time. People going to and fro looking for knowledge. But I'm glad that we have the hidden manna that we can come and partake from. And this manna gets fresh every time. This revelation gets better every time. And for that, we just want to thank you, dear God. Bless musicians. They've been such a blessing this morning. Bless the church, dear God, for such a sweet spirit this morning. And dear God, help us to come in unison. To come, dear God, in the unity of mind and unity of heart. and with great expectations, dear God, so that your spirit can move freely and achieve the results for your people, dear God. Dear God, I commit the reading of the word to you for thy glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As you take your seats, excuse me. Just a couple of minutes, I want us to speak on the condescending of the mercy seat. Amen. The condescending of the mercy seat. Amen. When you look at the word condescending, you see, in the message, we've got our own language, our own jargon. Amen. When you find a group of engineers together, they've got an engineering jargon, a language that can only be understood by engineers. When you find doctors, you find that they would have their own jargon as well. Amen. I once went to a doctor the other time, and I wasn't feeling well, and I asked, "What is the problem?" Then he told me what the problem was, and I looked at him. I said, "Sir, I don't know. Is it a serious case?" Only to find that he had used such a big medical term for headache. Amen. Did not even say migraine. There was a huge term. And already I thought, "Your goodness, should I start preparing my things?" But later he said, no, it's just a headache. But I realized he used a medical jargon to a non-medical person. But had he used the same word among doctors, they would have easily grasped that. Amen. So any group of people have their own jargon. When you get farmers together, there is a language of farmers. Amen. When you find politicians, there is a language of politics. So every group of people have their language, and I believe that the bride has her language.
Amen.
Amen. We've got our own jargon. And when we speak, it's only the bride that can understand that what we are talking about. If you say theophany and you try to locate it in the dictionary, it makes absolutely no sense. The only dictionary that you've got to find is the revealed word of the hour.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning I believe that I'm in the right place where we can speak the jargon of the bride or the language of the bride. Are we together? Amen. I believe that if you are a professional and you operate in a certain environment, they say you need to keep abreast of the trends in your sector. So if you are an engineer and you hang around with us who are not engineers, your mind may not be refined for engineering. Amen. An engineer will read engineering books, isn't so?
Amen.
Attend engineering conferences so that they get refined in their knowledge and they keep abreast of the trends. So even similarly, in the spiritual realm, when you are the bride, you've got to make sure that you keep yourself abreast with what God is doing in the ministry. And how do you keep abreast? The tapes, you listen to the tapes, you come to the church, you read the Bible. How many have realized that the more you have a hunger for something, there's more of it to quench that hunger? If you've got the hunger for revelation, there is more revelation to quench your thirst for revelation. Amen. But it begins with you having an appetite for a revelation. Then God comes and grants you the revelation. How many are still excited to read the spoken word today? Amen. And when I say the spoken word, I'm not referring to an extract of a beautiful quotation. I'm referring to reading from cover to cover with a marker and meditate and come back and say, that thing that the prophet spoke about, I need clarity on it. It's only when you do that you come to the service, somewhat the minister just comes along the lines where you've been reading, then you get blessed. Amen. That's why this morning I want to remove the burden on my shoulders. My responsibility is not to bless you. It's to keep you blessed the way you've been blessed throughout the week. Hallelujah. Those that were blessed shall be blessed. And for you to be blessed, there must have been something that you've been doing through the week. Amen. But let's come to where we speak about this matter. John was summoned up to come up hither, which means come up here. And he showed him all that was going to happen in the world and the church ages. Then after the church ages was over, we find then that John was a type of every believer that will be summoned by Christ on high. So there is you need to be summoned higher in our time. Amen. Why are you summoned higher? Eagles are always summoned higher. The higher they go, the better they see. Hallelujah. And it says, now you say, well, where? And now we want to, then it says, as we read here in Revelation 5, it says, then I was in the spirit and I was summoned to come up hither. And it says, this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, I will show you things that must shortly must come hereafter. And it says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And now we are going to look onto that throne, what was happening here. Are we together? Maybe just to bring you up to speed, just if you can bring my presentation, just to for those that are new converts, just to bring them up to speed. When we speak about the mercy seat, we speak about something like this. It was a piece of, one of the piece of finishers in the tabernacle. And right there, God had told Moses to construct the tabernacle after the pattern that he had seen in heaven. And he says, right there in the third room, there is what we call the mercy seat. Now, in the mercy seat, you had the cherubims with their wings intertwined over the mercy seat, covering the mercy seat. And what qualifies it to be called the mercy seat, there must always be blood on the mercy seat. When there is no blood, it becomes a judgment seat. Are we together? So it is a judgment seat, it is a mercy seat, but what it is, it depends what is here. If you see the blood, then it becomes the mercy seat. Are we together? And then right there were 10 commandments here. And right in between the wings of the pyramid of the cherubims, it is where God said to Moses, I will meet you in there, which was in the secret room where God communed with Moses in this year. So there was the Shekinah glory right in between the wings of the cherubims. Are we together? Now, this was constructed by Moses here, but actually it is something that he saw in heaven. So we are going to speak about the mercy seat. I'm saying we are speaking about the condescending, the coming down of the mercy seat. We want to know Where is it coming from? Where is it going? Are we together? Now, when it is, let me just leave it as it is. Then Brother Branham says in this message, Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 92. He says, now, in the day of mercy, let's go back in the Old Testament here just a little bit. Amen. Now he says, the reason today there is mercy is because the mercy seat is sprinkled with an atonement, blood. And so as long as blood is on the judgment seat, then it's not judgment no more, it's mercy, because something died to stay judgment, if you see it. As long as blood is on the mercy seat, it showed that something died to hold the judgment back. But when the church, this is a critical statement that I want you to keep at the top of your mind. But when the church is raptured, the mercy seat becomes the judgment seat. I want you to park that statement. It is very critical. When the church is raptured, the mercy seat becomes the judgment seat. Are you still with me? That means if the church is here, it is not the judgment seat, it is the mercy seat. But when the church is taken, then it moves from being the mercy seat, it becomes the judgment seat. Are you still with me? Now, we want to trace this, or before I come here, now, just to give you, remember the tabernacle, this tabernacle Moses first saw it in heaven. And I think we have spoken many a times about it in this church, where we said there is the eastern side, the northern side, the western side, the southern side, and the mercy seat was in the third room. And I've just put it there as a star representative of the mercy seat. And there you had a way of coming in. We have dealt with that many a times. Maybe just to give you a synopsis of it is, you come through the east side, you find the altar, which means you've got to accept that Jesus Christ has died for your sins. Are you still with me? Amen. Amen. Maybe say to your neighbor, don't sleep. Yeah, amen. If your neighbor sleeps, you say, neighbor, let's stand up there at the back, so that we must not sleep. Amen. If the neighbor sleeps, in no time you will be. Sleeping is contagious. Amen. I don't know. Have you ever seen when somebody yawns, then you yawn as well? Amen. So just keep your neighbor in check, because we are going to go into these things and they are quite detailed. Amen. Now, I said you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Folks, there is no other way to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I will repeat that. No other way to enter the kingdom of God without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the way, the truth, hallelujah, and the life. Are we together? Now, after you have accepted that, then this was where they washed their hands. And once you have accepted that, then you've got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is very critical, because the Bible says by baptism you are asking for a clean conscience from God. Are we still together? Then by baptism it symbolizes the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you come into the second court. I'm just giving those that may not know an update. Then you had the shoe bread. Then you had the golden lampstand. And then we find out that the shoe bread was unleavened. And then the golden lampstand, it was the seven candlesticks. Are we together? And what was happening is that the same fire, how they lit the candles, they did not just come and lit it one by one. They lit the first one, And they took the first one, lit the second one, the third one, the fourth one, to show that the same fire that started at Ephesus will run throughout the seven church ages. Are we together? That is why we are very particular. Paul says, I, as a wise master builder, have laid the foundation. Yes, and those that come must build upon that foundation. So our foundation is an apostolic foundation. Yes. Are we together? That's why I normally say the way forward is the way backwards. You always check how things started to get a true pattern of things. Are you with me? Now, while we are there, then there is an altar of incense, which was the spices here that made the place to smell nice, which is representative in heaven, the prayers of the saints. Then you come into the third room where the throne or the mercy seat was. Are we together? So this is where we'll dwell. I'm just giving you the background. Now, the tabernacle that Moses saw, remember this four living creatures, you find it in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 from verse 1 until 28, where Ezekiel saw a vision and saw the living creatures moving in a certain direction. He says they were led by the Spirit. Are we together? Amen. Now, when you find the tabernacle here on earth as Moses constructed it, there is a way that the tribes were positioned around the tabernacle. Judah was on the eastern side. Are we together? What does it mean? It means that no enemy can come to the tabernacle without it. The enemy has to make it through the tribes first. Because this, wherever you find the mercy seat, it is always guarded. I want you to park that statement. Wherever you find the mercy seat, it is always guarded. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, then on the eastern side, it used to be Judah. Then on the northern side, it used to be Dan. And then on the west side, it used to be Ephraim. And on the south, it used to be the tribe of Reuben. So this tribe, they had got the mercy seat. Then inside, then you find the Levites. Are we together? Are you still with me? Now, we are going to trace, because first, Moses saw this in heaven. And when he saw this in heaven, and when we read what John says, he says, then I looked up, then I saw, in Revelation chapter 5, he says, chapter 4, I don't need to bring it. It says, after this, I looked and behold, a door opened in heaven. Now, don't think in a carnal way. It does not refer to a door with a handle. Brother Branham says that door is Christ. Are we together? So that is why you've got to find Christ. Because when you find Christ, it opens more revelations. Are you still together? And that is why with this message, there are so many layers. That's why we don't get bored with this message. 30 years later, you still go to the same spoken word and say, gee, it's like I see this for the first time. Because this message has got so many layers of revelation. Amen. Now, it says, I looked and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. I want us to trace this throne. The first time it was set up in heaven. Are we together? Now, Brother Branham says in the Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 232, he says the first throne was in heaven. Hallelujah. The second throne was in Christ. Do you get it? The first throne was in heaven. Then the second throne was in Christ. Then the third throne is now. Hallelujah. we want to check this condescending. Are we together? The first time the throne was in heaven. And when it was in heaven, it was guarded. Hallelujah. Then it means that when it came down and it was in Christ, it was as well guarded. Are you still with me? That is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is guarded. That is why the gospel, you will find that with the gospel, you will have Mark, John, and Luke, and Matthew guarding the gospel. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. I'm glad to believe in a guarded gospel. A guarded gospel shall never be corrupted. Hallelujah. It's dangerous to follow an unguarded gospel. Now, he says, now, let me take this little thing that I got drawn up here. And he speaks about the courts. He says, now, he says in paragraph 234, now, what is a man? He is a triune being, meaning body, spirit, and soul. Are we together? What then, he says, how many knows that? Watch God's approach. What is in his heart? You remember my message, God chose a man's heart for his control tower. The devil chose his head for his control tower. He makes things see through. He makes him see things, look through his eyes. God in his heart makes him believe things that he cannot see. So the devil in your head, that is why they say seeing is believing. But we say believing is seeing. Did you get that one? Yes. It says, see, God is on his heart, in the heart of man. In the heart of man is the throne of God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes. So now check it with. When it was in heaven, then you had worship taking place around the throne.
Yes, sir.
When it was in Jesus, you had worship taking place around Jesus. When it is in your heart, then worship takes place in your heart. Are you still with me? He says, now watch. What's the first part of a man? The first part of the man is the body. The next part is his soul, which is the nature of the spirit that makes it him what he is. And if you are a reader of the message, you know that Brother Branham, before the seals, he used to say, this is the body, this is the spirit, this is the soul, this is the spirit. How many remember that? Then after the seals, God corrected him and said, it is the body, the spirit, and the soul. I want you to check that. Not Brother so-and-so corrected Brother Branham. God corrected Brother Branham through Brother Branham. Hallelujah. The only way, the only time when you know that the prophet is at is when the same prophet comes to tell you that, yeah, I should have said this, but God dealt with me. Actually, it is not this, it is that. So I'm saying this message, it is mistakes proof. There are no mistakes in the message. You can say better amen than that. There are no mistakes in the message. That's why I'm not waiting for an updated version of the message. God would have never taken Brother Branham off the scene if mistakes were in the message. He would have corrected the mistakes through the same prophet. And for the man that is taken off the scene, I'm here to declare there are no mistakes in the message. Are you still with me? Every time when you get that, if you read something and you think Brother Branham has made a mistake, you are the one that is making a mistake. Kneel down and ask God for revelation. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you can blame the paper that is dated only to find that it is your spectacles that have got marked. Amen. Are you still with me? Now, then he says, now, in the center of the heart is where God comes to the throne. Now, this now, it becomes God's control tower. Now, he says, now, the mercy seat is in the heart. Sit where the shining forth of his glory in all his children. And the Shekinah glory in the human heart. Is that right? Are we together? The first throne was in heaven. The second throne was in Christ. The third throne is now in the heart of the man. When the throne was in heaven, it was guarded. When the throne is in Christ, it's guarded. When the throne is in you, it's guarded. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, then he says in the same Revelation chapter 4, 3-3, he says, now, we are living in another age. Glory. Oh, I love this age. And he says, don't you?
Amen.
Don't you love this age? Amen. Hallelujah. God has a mercy seat today to be guarded. You believe that?
Amen.
Where is the mercy seat found? Now we want to check the location. When they were around when they were in the wilderness, they knew that the mercy seat symbolized God's presence among his people. That is why they could come and stay around the tabernacle. And they knew that in the third room, you had the mercy seat. And right there, there was the presence of the Shekinah glory. But Brother Branham says, now we are living in another age. If it means we are living in another age, I don't need to travel to Jerusalem looking for the tabernacle. It is another age. The mercy seat has moved. And now we are tracing the locality of the mercy seat in the end time. Are you still with me? He says now, God has a mercy seat today to be guarded. Where is the mercy seat found? In the heart of a man. When did it come in the heart of a man? At the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost, which is God, came into the human heart. Are you still with me? Now, he says, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost, which is God, came into the human heart. Now, when you go and check the word condescending, in Latin, con, it's a prefix which means with. Descending, it means coming down. It means the mercy seat did not come alone. It was God on the mercy seat. He was first in Christ, but now he has moved into the heart of the believer.
Amen.
Now it makes sense why Brother Branham says, all that was in God, he poured it into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured it into the church. Now it comes to John 14 verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, another dispensation. And the Father in me, the sonship. And I in you, the body ministry. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Fatherhood, sonship, body ministry. Amen. He says, get ready. Now, do we check? And we need to check, or we'll come to that. I must not run ahead of myself. Now, let's mark this down here and get ready to draw it if you want to. Pentecost. This is the mercy seat, the Holy Ghost. I will tell you more appropriately. All right. Guarding the mercy seat. Now, God has got guards for the mercy seat today. He says, I was sitting the other day and saw this, and I jumped up and down, running around and around the chair, saying, glory, glory, glory. It amazes you what revelation can do to you. Because revelation is stimulation. Hallelujah. And what happens when you are stimulated? The only thing that can stimulate you is wine. Hallelujah. Brother Branham, you go and check. Brother Branham says, stimulation has got the same effect that alcohol has on a natural man.
Amen.
You didn't get that one. Maybe you are not drunk enough. You see, when you are drunk, what happens when you are drunk? your personal inhibitions or restraints are lowered. I told you the other time we were at a wedding, and when we were at this wedding, there's a man that was on crutches. He was walking on crutches, and he looked like he was in pain. But from time to time, I caught him with the corner of my eye. He would go to a car and open the boot. And I don't know what he was doing there. He would lean into the boot. Now, he had been doing that for quite some time, and I'd been observing this fella that, from time to time he goes there. I don't know. It looked like he was drinking something, but he was hiding it in a black plastic. So I did not know what he was doing. But guess what? He went the first time, he went the second time, he went the third time. At some point in time, the very man that I thought was crutches, he now was not walking on crutches. He had one crutch that he was waving. Hallelujah. Now I realized that what he was consuming at the back of the boot has now had an effect on him. Initially, he was shy around the people, but later what he consumed him, and he was afraid of nobody. Hallelujah. This is how a believer should be like. The more we consume the revelation, you become so revelated that you don't care who is sitting next to you. Because why? There is a stimulation that has got an effect on you. Are you here, people? Have you ever been? That's why Brother Bram said, I wonder where was Sister Mida. Poor prophet running out of the study saying, glory, glory, glory. He said the first time, that's what revelation does to a believer. And I've got a question to you. When was the last time your heart almost bursted out of your jaw, out of your breast because of joy, because of something that you had read in the Bible? Hallelujah. I see it's like sugar diabetes. The sugar is getting more lower. Come on, believers. Amen. Now, he says, when I first saw that, he says, now, where is the throne at now? Now, he says, in the heart of who? The members of the seven church ages. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you get it. Brother Branham is declaring that what was in God, in heaven, was now condescended into Christ. And what was in Christ has now condescended in you. And you'll get where we are going forward. He says, the members of the seven church ages cry. Now, he says, speak a word against or action. You are going to be condemned. You will answer for it at the day of judgment. And he says, who will judge the earth? Saints shall judge the earth. Are you still with me? Now, let's put it this way. When we speak about the seven church age, Brother Bram says, when a church age opens, I'll just paraphrase it. It's just a long quotation. He says, you'll find it in the message, the first seal. Amen. Or the Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 62. That's where you'll find it when you are in the comfort of your own home. No, actually, it's the first seal. Amen. Brother Branham says, in short, when a church age opens, an announcement is made in heaven. That is why you saw those four living creatures. It's the one that says, come and see. He says, this is made in the seals only four times. And it says, all the seven church age messengers come under the anointing of the four living creatures, the lion, ox, man, and eagle. That is why in the first age, when perversion came in, God released the spirit of a lion to counteract that. Now, during the persecution, he released the spirit of an ox, which is a spirit of sacrifice. They gave up their lives for the sake of the gospel. Now later, during the restoration, he brought the intelligence of the man. Now in the final age, which is our age, now you've got the swiftness of an eagle. Hallelujah. What is the characteristics of the eagle? It moves faster. It goes higher. It sees better. So that means in our time, you are anointed with an anointing of an eagle. Hear me out. An eagle has never complained about the storm. The eagle rides on the storm. There will be storms in the end time. But if you are an eagle, the storm will work for your own benefit, because it will lift you higher and higher. And the more you go higher, the better you see. Oh, are you here, people? I know it's a mixed audience, but I'm going to say this. An eagle does not mate with another eagle on the earth. They don't make babies here on earth. They go higher. That's where they mate. I say eagles are clever. Because if you mate here, you may end up a wrong bird, a vulture. Come on, sisters. Come on, sisters. Go higher. There is a certain realm where an eagle meets its own mate. There is a certain realm where a message eagle meets a partner. I expect you to say amen to that. Amen. An eagle, go and check the characteristics of an eagle. They say it never has more than one partner. Oh, hallelujah. How do you know that a brother is an eagle? One wife. How do you know that a brother is a vulture? Makwapeng, concubines. So that this one is a vulture. Hallelujah. And how would you know? Because, are you still with me? You see, an eagle, when it flies and it sees another bird and is not quite sure what make or what breed are those birds, how best can an eagle test the material or the breed of the other bird? It just needs to go higher. It needs to go higher. Then if that bird follows it at a certain altitude, the eagle knows that now we can have a fellowship. That's why I've got a problem with an eagle that says, a vulture was gossiping about me. At what altitude were you flying? Because if you fly higher, you don't hear the conversations of vultures. Are you still with? If you hear people and talking about you and it affects you, maybe you have lowered your altitude. Brother Bram said, I was out in the wood. And he says, I saw this massive eagle was on a tree. And he says there was a little bird that kept on making a funny sound. And he says, I could see those big eyes of the eagle turning around looking at that little creature that was quite a nuisance to this eagle. And he says the eagle looked more irritated. He says, I can begin to see the eagle flipped its wings. And he says it took off. And he says it went higher and higher. And he says that animal was looking at the eagle until it could not see the eagle anymore. I say, Brother Roman says, glory be to God. That's how a child of God is supposed to be like. When there is a noise of the world, it must never affect you. You need to go higher and higher and higher. Amen. Don't worry, brothers, it's me. Amen. Are we together? As an eagle, are you going to be depressed that they talked about me? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If they talk about you, there is something worthwhile that you are doing. Amen. Are we together? People don't talk about useless people. Amen. There must be something worthwhile for them to take your time to talk about you. Don't stop what you are doing because they are talking about. Do you see, Brother Branham says, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he went into the second court. He says when he got there, there was a curtain, a thick curtain, which had an acoustic element to it. He says when he walked into the third room, he says when that curtain dropped behind him, he heard no more the noise of the world. Hallelujah. So that means when you are a believer, you need to get here. Amen. Amen. He says, then announcement is made in heaven. Come up and see by those creatures. He says, a seal is opened. Which means a mystery unfolds, but not fully revealed. That's why there is an opening of a seal, and there is a revelation of the opening of the seal. If you say you saw the white horse rider, you have not said anything. You speak about the opening. But the revelation is to know what was that. And to be able to place it within the seven church ages. The seals are not the horses. Hallelujah. There is a revelation of the seals. Now it says a mystery unfolds but not fully revealed. Then a messenger of the age catches the mystery. Hallelujah. Amen. So an announcement, then a seal is open, then a messenger of the age catches the mystery. Then the fourth thing, a trumpet sounds. The messenger, which means the messenger proclaims his message, and it causes a religious stir and woe. Are you still with me? The fifth thing, the elect of that age catch it, recognize, and receive their message. Then the messenger and the elect of that age are put to sleep. The door closes for that age. Then another thing that follows, which is the sixth thing, a plague or temporary judgment is dropped upon the rejecters of that message. Spiritual death sets upon them. Now the seventh thing, a denomination starts. The rest of the religious people denominate on the very message they rejected. And they continue as if all is well and may even prosper numerically and materially. Did you get that one? Now, then that's how every church age opens. Now, you are beginning to see in our time, we are at the fifth stage where the elect have caught the message, recognized the message, received the message, and the rapture is about to take place. Still remember. Remember there were seven men from Adam, but Enoch raptured. There were seven church ages. You, and I'm glad to report that there are people in this church that do not need the grave number. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. There are people that do not need the grave number. There is going to be a rapture. This is the first time in the seven church ages where there is a promise of a change of the bodies. And brethren, say the rapturing faith lies. The rapturing faith lies. In the church. It lies in where, brother? It lies where?
In the tapes.
God bless you. Amen. So stick with those tapes. Are we together? Now, Brother Brennan, when he speaks about these four living creatures, he says in the message, the bridge, the summer where we are going. He says, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, those are the gospel there guarding that. The wisdom of a man, the power of a lion, the work of an ox, the swiftness of an eagle, the gospel standing there. He says in question and answer 685, he says, look, they could not go backwards because every way they went, they were going forward. They went this way, they were going like a man. He says, they went this way, they were going like a man. If they went that way, they were going like a lion. If they went that way, they were going like an ox. If they went that way, they were going like an eagle. Are we together? Amen. He says, now those four beasts, now quickly, because I don't want to stay long on this. He says, in the Bible, the beast represents power. So these creatures are the power guarding the mercy seat. He says, if you notice, these beasts were out yonder in the lake, in the sea, somewhere coming up, but they were at the throne of God. They were worshiping God. Those four beasts means four powers that come out of the earth, and those powers was the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One doesn't contradict the other. I think one day I need to preach on the message, the dovetailing of the four gospels, and take out what you may deem to be contradiction, just to show that there are no contradictions there. Amen. Are you still together? Now it says, as the gospel goes forth as a lion, it stands, it's bold. Our gospel is bold.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When we declare it, we are not ashamed of it. Amen. And it says, if it goes towards man's faith, it is cunning and shrewd like a man. And if it goes the eagle way, it's got the swift wings and the high, high. If it goes the ox, is the work horse that can pull. The work of the ox is the burden of the gospel. So the four beasts was the four powers, which were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four gospels that ring out in the presence of God. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. Now, he says the first throne was in heaven. The second throne was in Christ. What is it that amazed people about Christ during his time? It's when they brought a sinner before Christ and he looks at the sinner and he says, I forgive you.
Yes.
And they said, why? How can a man forgive sins? That's what stumbled to them. Because they believed that you go to where the first throne was, or the mercy seat was. Then when you go to there, there was a sacrifice that had to be given out. And you were to be forgiven of your sins by God. But today, here is a man. He doesn't point the people at the temple. But he says, I forgive you. But because they did not have the mystery, the revelation of the mystery of the condescending of the mercy seat, they thought this man being a man, he makes himself God. But they did not know that the mercy seat that was in heaven was now in the heart of Christ. And he cannot refer people to heaven. He can say, I forgive you. Hallelujah. Are you here? Do you see when the mercy seat, you must check the characteristics of the locality of the mercy seat. Now, he says, what was in heaven was now moved into Christ. And what is now was in Christ has now moved into the church. Where is the mercy seat today? In the heart of the believers. Hallelujah. And say, when did that come? It came on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
The mercy seat came into the hearts of the believers at the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That means Apostle Peter had the mercy seat in his heart.
Amen.
That is why 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom of God, because the mercy seat was there standing on front of those 3,000 people.
Amen.
Oh, you can better say amen better than that. Hallelujah. You remember when they came by the gate, beautiful Peter and John, and they found a crippled man there. Hallelujah. They said, silver and gold we have not, but such as we have, because the throne that was in God, in heaven, was now in Christ. But on that day, the throne was in Peter and John. They said, silver and gold we have none, but such as we have, stand up and walk. Are you still with me? Stephen the martyr, when he was there being killed, he looked and heaven opened. He said, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
What happened? The mercy seat was in Stephen. And that is why he can forgive sins even before people ask for the forgiveness.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who was the man that murdered Stephen? Paul, when it was still called Saul. Are we together?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What led and the experience that Paul had
or Saul heard of Stephanas, it never left him. He actually narrated throughout the New Testament. What happened there? Because right there, they said the glory came on the face of Stephen. And they said, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, let's check. And this is where we need to tell these ignorant people in South Africa that don't know how the Bible came to Africa. Amen. The Bible, before they were missionaries that pretended to be missionaries. Because sometimes you can get a missionary thinking he's a missionary.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. The Bible did not come from America. Before Christianity went to America, it was already in Africa. I know what I'm talking about. I know this politically hyped young people, they say the Bible came here and they used the Bible to steal the land so that we don't want the Bible anymore. Poor grasp of history. Before there was America and UK, there is Ethiopia in the Bible. Hallelujah. Before Americans went there to move the Red Indians out of America, what happened? Moses had already married an Ethiopian woman. So people are using this. So I'm saying the brother, the Enoch, had gone to the temple, had gone to the convention in Jerusalem. Remember the Enochs during that time, they used to guard the queen. When you go and check, the historians will tell you that ever since the Queen of Sheba made her way to Jerusalem, there was always reverence within her kingdom about the God of Israel. Are you with me? That even years later, they were used to go to Jerusalem for a convention. Now, the Enoch had gone to Jerusalem for the convention, and he was coming back from the convention, and he was busy reading a scripture in Isaiah, could not comprehend the scripture, and wondered what it was speaking about. But the mercy seat was now in the heart of Philip.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And Philip was supernaturally transported from where he was to where the Enoch was. Are you still with me? I hope we are together. Why? To give to Philip a knowledge and understanding, or to the Enoch, the knowledge and understanding of what he was reading about.
Yes.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now, remember, immediately after Saul, had an encounter with a pillar of fire, and he was partially blind, then God said, go to the house of Ananias. Because at the house of Ananias, this was the messenger of the age. God directs him to the house of Ananias. Why is he directing him there? Because the mercy seat was now in the heart of Ananias.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And right there he said, go, Ananias must pray for you. And he prayed for him to get his sight back. Are we together?
Glory.
And from that, now the mercy seat was now in the heart of Paul.
Yes.
Check. As long as there is no blood on the mercy seat, it becomes a judgment seat. And today, if the mercy seat is in the hearts of the believers, what determines it to be the mercy seat or the judgment seat, it's your attitude towards it. Why am I saying that? It is because when you look at the sorcerer, you remember he had been preventing a man called Sergius Paulus to seek the truth, and preventing him, and Paul came there, and Paul made the sorcerer blind. But he gave the message, he helped Sergius Paulus. Are we together? So it depends on your attitude. Are you still with me? Now, the Apostle Paul was used as God's mercy seat in the house of Cornelius. Are you still with me? But remember, when Ananias and his wife Sapphira came, What happened there? It became a judgment seat. Amen. Your attitude towards it. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now, today, it was demonstrated through the prophet messenger where the mercy seat was. Amen. Let me bring you up to a speed, or I'll just paraphrase here. Brother Branham says, he says in the message, Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 185, he says, just recently, a colored man in Sheffield stood up and said, there is no such thing as God, and just blasphemed, and said, they are nothing but a bunch of holy rollers. Lightning killed him. They took him to the grave, and when they were burying that man, there came a little cloud, and lightning struck the casket, and blew him right out of the casket. Hallelujah. What? If you speak one word against me, there shall be forgiveness. But if you speak one word against the comforter, there will never be any forgiveness. Are you still with me? You speak against the son, there's forgiveness. But you speak against the bride, no more forgiveness. Are you still with me? Now let's come to this one. Brother Branham comes in our time. He says, as he's preaching in the church, a young boy and a young girl are busy there engaging in a shameful act, busy kissing and romanticizing one another while the service was going on. And can you imagine the disrespect in the house of God? Brother Branham says, right there, I looked at them and said, the voice spoke and said, just say the word, it will happen. If you say, let them be blind, they will be blind. If you say, let them be killed, they will be carried away and packed out of the church immediately. But what happened? Because the throne that was in heaven was now in Christ, but now it's in the heart of the believer. The mercy seat is in the heart of the believer. Brother Branham looked at them and said, I forgive you.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Branham, are you God to forgive the people? It's because the mercy seat is now in the heart of the believer. Are you still with me? Brother Branham comes to preach marriage and divorce. His son had had issue of marriage and divorce. And it was chaos. Brothers in church had divorced 3 times. Others, it was just a complete mess. And Brother Branham said, you are in what you are because of this denominational mess. Now, he did not even know what he needed to say to them. All he knew is that they broke God's word. In terms of what the sanction should be, he did not know. And say, I'm waiting upon the Lord. And one time he was out there on the mountain, and a cloud hovered over the mountain, and God spoke to the prophet, and Brother Branham came to a tense church. Marriage and divorce, if there is one sermon that is tense, it's marriage and divorce. I don't believe that you can read that message from first cover until to the very last, being a woman without being predestinated and still with a spoken word. It takes power of predestination, because Brother Branham really drives the point home there. He holds no punches. Hallelujah. If you are a modern era woman, you're going to throw that book away. But later, Brother will say, sisters, don't worry, I'm going to give you a position. Are you still with me? Now, it was a tense service because they did not know what was the final verdict. But when it came to the end, because the throne that was in heaven, that now was in Christ, now was in the heart of the believer. Brother Branham said, under modern conditions, I, as his prophet, I'm here to tell you, go and sin no more.
Amen.
No, you are now forgiven. I'm told when Brother Branham left the pulpit, he went to Paul, to Billy Paul, and said to Billy Paul, look Billy Paul in the eye and say, you need to appreciate the mercy of God. Because had mercy not been granted, Billy Paul was gone.
Yes.
Folks, this way, this God is a just God. It doesn't matter whether you are a son of a pastor, a son of a prophet, the standard is exactly the same. Are you still with me? Then he says, you need to really thank God for his mercy. And he says, go and sin no more. Why were people forgiven? It's because the mercy seat was now in the heart of the believer. Today, where is the mercy seat? Today, where is the mercy seat? If it did exactly that in Christ, and it did exactly that in Brother Branham, it will do exactly the same thing in the heart of the believer. So today, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you've been through. But there is a statement that Jesus made. Whatever they bind here shall be bound in heaven. Whatever they set free here shall be set free in heaven. Because why? The mercy seat is now in the heart of the believer. Hallelujah. And that is why we've got confidence this morning. I don't know what the devil caused you to do whatever you have done. But this morning, this church, which is the church of the living God, this bride, which is the bride of Jesus Christ, has got the authority to look in the eye and say, go and sin no more. Are you here, folks? Why? Because that mercy seat is now in our heart. The day we are raptured, it becomes a judgment seat. Are you here? Young people, our young people, I don't care. Brother Branham speaks about a certain young boy that got married in the message, standing in the gap, had married a sister that had long served in the faith for a long time. And Brother Branham says, the sister said to the brother, say, you are still young in faith. I don't know what will happen, but if you are out there and Satan causes you to do something, you must know and run back home, because here at home, there is a woman that is waiting for you to forgive you. Are you still with me? Why? The sister understood that the mercy seat is in my heart. Hallelujah. And you need to understand the mercy seat is in your heart. Hallelujah. And today I say to our young people, I don't care what the devil can cause you what you do. I don't care how far he takes you into the mess of sin. But remember one thing, you can come back to the church of the living God and say, church, I don't know what happened, but I'm sorry about what happened. The church has got the authority to set you free. And he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And he now is in community of property. And let me put it so that I can put your mind at ease. It's not you forgiving. It's Christ in you forgiving. It was not even Moses that said to God, blot my name out of the book. Brother Branham said, later I found out it was Christ in Moses saying that. It was not Brother Branham forgiving. It was Christ in Brother Branham. And the same Christ today is in every heart. Amen. The mystery of God. Are we still together? Amen. And right now, where is the mercy seat? If the mercy seat is in the heart of the believer, Brother Branham said the mercy seat is never unguarded. That means if it was guarded there, it is still guarded even now. That means the same power that protected the mercy seat is protecting the mercy seat in the heart of the believer. So that means wherever you go, there are still four living creatures that are accompanying the believer to protect the mercy seat that is in the heart of the believer. That's why there will be moment where God will release the spirit of an ox right in you. There will be a time, Brother Branham said, when you come before me, don't think what you will say. The Holy Ghost will speak for you. The cunningness of a man, the intelligence of a man will be there to answer for us. And when we come in the end time where things are vile, we've got the spirit of an eagle to lift us up higher into another height. Are you still with me? Amen. Now, the bride of Jesus Christ now must understand her authority upon the face of the earth, because you, the only hope that this world has. Amen. Are you still with me? Amen. And what about those that speak ill about the bride? What about those that mock us?
What about those that insult us? What hope do they have? A woman said to Brother Branham, I don't want your gospel. I would not even allow Macau to accept your gospel. And later she was in the hospital, screaming at the top of her voice. And when Brother Branham got there, it was already late. And the nurse said, she had been screaming your name for the past hour. I don't know what happened through that woman. I don't know what regrets she must have gone through. So folks, if you do not understand anything about the believers, lest you curse what God has blessed. That's why Abraham said, if you don't have anything good to say about a brother, shush. Because you don't know what you say, what may happen. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Now the message seat is in the heart of the believer, guarded as it was guarded. And right there, I think I need to stop here. God bless you. As we stand to our feet,
I'm not afraid to die.
us another song.
Glory to Jehovah Jireh. Glory, glory, glory.
All over the building. I may say glory to Jehovah. Branham says, what was once God's great mysterious secret is now in the heart of the believer. Amen. Amen. What the Father had before the beginning of the foundation of the world is now in the heart of the believer. Your heart contains heavenly treasures. Amen. And how you know where the mercy seat is, you check with the quality of worship. You cannot be depressed and worship at the same time. I'll repeat that. You cannot worship and be depressed at the same time. And the best antidote for being depressed, worship. Amen. As long as they say, Lord, holy, holy unto the Lord, there was no room for Satan to come in. Worship immunizes the heart of the believer from negative elements. Amen. Give us another one so that we just worship them, O Lord. How many believe he deserves to be worshipped? I'm not ashamed to worship him. Be drunk in the spirit. When you are drunk in the spirit, it makes fear to evaporate. You know about that story where the rat was running away from a cat, but fell into a jar of alcohol, consumed that alcohol, got out,
Now the cat was wandering because the rat was now looking for the cat. That's what an anointing will do. Will make you to run towards your fears. You run into from something, but immediately after the service, you run towards it. And Satan wonders what happened. Amen.
My sins were higher than Everest.
We're higher than Mount Everest.
Oh,
Applause. Hallelujah. Aye, you can worship him better than that. Hallelujah. You can glorify him better than that. How many say he deserves our round of applause? Just sing a worshiping song, and thereafter we'll close with a word of prayer. Brother Mabuku, if you can just come and wrap up for us in prayer. Amen. I know him.
Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this afternoon, Lord God Almighty. We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that has graced this place. Father, we want to thank you for such a ministry. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for visiting us in such a special way, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just pray. May we live, oh Lord God Almighty, upon such a ministry from day to day. Lord God Almighty, we even want to thank you, Lord, for your servant who has accepted to be used of thee in such a manner, Lord, where we could gather, Lord God Almighty, around your table and be fed of thee in such a way. How we pray, Lord, may you continue to magnify and to inspire our pastor, Lord, that we could continue to feed upon such nuggets again. Lord, may you continue to bless us in such a way. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, may you continue to anoint him. May you bless this church. May you bless the members of this church, Lord. May you bless each and every one of us, Lord. May we meditate upon these things, Lord. Heavenly Father, we also pray as we go to our various homes, Father, may this word keep us, Lord, until we meet again, Lord Jesus Christ. May we be anointed in this very same way, Lord. May the same Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, lead us each and every day until we meet again in the next time, Lord, and be fed again in the same way. We pray, Lord God Almighty, may you bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Lord, we also pray, may you even restore the virtue that has gone out of your servant, Lord. That next time we meet, Lord, you will still be fired from there and we will partake of your heavenly nuggets in the same way. We pray, Lord God Almighty, have mercy upon us, Lord. And Heavenly Father, wherever we might have erred, Lord, we now know your mercy seat is amongst us, Lord. May we be forgiven of thee, that we will continue, Lord Jesus Christ, even to go after our own fears and say, Satan, we adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ. Make way for the children of the living God, that we might glorify you by our lives. Help us, O Lord Jesus Christ, as we go to our various homes. May we have many mercies, Lord, until we meet again. We ask for all these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget, Saturday, 5 o'clock. Amen. I think the best way to teach them is to honor them by being punctual. If we become late, we teach them to be late, isn't so? Amen. Shall we be punctual on Saturday? 5 o'clock, seated, waiting what they needed to present to us. 2-3 hours would be done, but it will be worth it. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. I don't know, we can do a bluegrass variation as you come here. Have a blessed week. Amen. Some will see you on Wednesday. The rest will see you on Saturday. I expect 100% attendance. Just say to your neighbor, we expect 100% attendance. Amen. Amen. Don't be surprised if you don't preach and I see you on Sunday and I ask you, don't you believe in young people? Amen. I would ask. Because if you don't support, that means you don't believe in them. God bless you. I'm not blackmailing you, but let's support them freely. God bless you richly. Amen.